Everyone else was too scared to leave and had holed up in a cave that they used to store their booty. All pickaxes and mercury bottles, but no food. Still, they thought it would be safe to winter in that cave. Even the Tlingit didn't go up that mountain. December 3. Well, Gordy has redeemed himself some. Brought back an Injun boy coming from Dawson. Had a half sack of sugar. Not much, but an easy split. Moreover, the boy is still summer fat enough to make a decent meal. We let Gordon do his bit. Seems to bother him little enough. We call him Gore for a reason, I suppose. There was an awful amount of fat in that boy. Cave smells like grease fire, but ain't no one here praying for gourmet eats. God knows how these Injuns stay so fat, oh, but God bless them. They do for a fine meal in a pinch. Gore thought back to the boy and removed a leather pouch of brown crystals from his pocket. Like a Chinaman stingy on snuff, he tucked a little sugar under his tongue and let it melt away the flavor of the frost-burned warrior. He hefted the leather pouch and lamented how light it had grown. When they'd taken it from the boy, it had a full 2 pounds. Then he noticed for the first time that the colored thread pattern on the side made the same familial symbol as was painted on the warrior's chest. Guess I was right. He began to muse, but was suddenly distracted by a sound from the darkness of the woods. It was faint at first, but soon Gore could swear that he heard a small child moaning. It grew louder. It was a boy. The boy. The sound became a groan and a huff. Kind of a low, repeating wail, but without the wind behind it to be considered a cry. He'd heard it many times, when a mine collapsed on a man's chest, or when he'd shot a bluecoat in the lung during the war. This one he knew intimately. It was the sound of the boy when he'd bled him out. Cut his throat. They'd saved the blood, but no one could bring themselves to drink it, so it just spoiled. Now he heard it plainly, belching out of a split neck somewhere in the darkness beyond the totems. He felt the tingle of fear creeping up his spine, but pushed it down and told himself he was just shaken from cold and scurvy. The sound faded. Gore retreated to the elder's lodge with his knife and hatchet both brandished. That thing was out there. It was trying to draw him out. Maybe drive him crazy. Is that how it got the tribe? He ate more sugar and tried to sleep. The totems would protect him. An hour later, he was shocked awake by another noise from the darkness. This time it came from the opposite direction, where he knew that the totem border was closest to the village. This time it was a different sound. Similar but more bestial, more savage, like cutting the throat of a bear or dying elk. It was louder. That thing may have only been 200 yards away, just pacing the border and taunting him with its devil voice. He pulled the frozen hide back into place over the lodge door, knowing that the flimsy walls would do little to keep out the cold or the demons that haunted it. The sound faded away so slowly that it was painful to hear. Then silence came, deep and sleepless. Gore lit a lantern. December 15. Engines are tramping about round the base of the butte, making a hell of a racket. Started yesterday. They was calling out a name. The boy's name, most like. Then they stopped for a while. Buff went to check it out. Came back with a scare in him. Said they was by the totems with a bigger fire than he'd ever seen them use. The old one was sitting prayer-like, and the others was dancing. Now ain't none of that surprising. These savages get up to all kinds of hoodoo. One gets used to it. But what had Buff in a huff? Buff in a huff. Oh, is that he says they was communicating with the dead. God knows how he got that idea. Says he'd seen him talking to the smoke, and that the smoke was talking back in the voice of that boy. Said he couldn't understand that gibberish, but he swore that one of the braves looked up the butte towards our cave with a real angry look. Then they all howled. Howled like devils at the moon. Whatever that voice in the smoke told him sure put a fire in him. Coward Buff ran back lickety-split, piddling all over himself. I say the lack of food has got us all a little loopy. Maybe we'll make a foray into the village soon. Get some more grub. A fat squaw would do just right. A bestial growl rent the silence. It was the sound that the thing had made when it lunged out of the cave at Gore. This time it was accompanied by a violent knocking on dried wood that was somehow more chilling than the moan, but only just. A few seconds later, a cracking sound like old timber falling in the wind came echoing through the darkness. The thing huffed once more in violent triumph and fell silent again. Gore turned the page with panicked fingers. December 17. Oh, Gordy's done it this time. We just held council and found him guilty of theft. We only had 1 pound of sugar left. Then suddenly we only had a half. Used 3 of these miners' gold scales we got lying around to confirm it. Pack inspection found half a goddamn stolen pound of sugar in Gordy's stash. Says he's innocent, that it was a frame-up. Oh, doesn't matter. Rules are clear. Some of the boys say that we should go easy since Gordy helped found the tribe and says we should just kick him out of the cave. Others say that's dangerous because he could come back at any moment. Gordy says it's a fate worse than death. Frankly, I don't care, so long as there's one less mouth to feed. He's standing out of the cave and bellowing that he's innocent. That's a good laugh. Ain't none of us innocent of anything. In other news, the Injuns are back at their hoodoo down below the rise there. I think that's part of what's got Gore too stirred up to count his blessings and leave with his life. Sounds like they got a caged bear down there growling away. Don't know what they plan on doing with it, but 10 barrels of scattershot and a hungry belly says I hope they send it this way. Gore had stolen the sugar. He'd told himself that no one would notice, but that was just the hunger talking. Everyone knew exactly how much sugar they had left. He also remembered the growling, and it had indeed given him the shivers. When he'd finally given up pleading and left the cave, the noise had faded into the background, and he remembered breathing a sigh of relief. He never did see what was making it. He'd spent the next couple of days trying to make it back to Dawson, but when the snow came in thick, he knew he'd never make the pass. So he decided to turn around and try to make peace with the tribe. He'd eaten most of his coat, boiled it in snow melt, and swallowed it, fur and all. His teeth were beginning to hurt, and he knew what came next if he didn't find fresh food. But fresh food would be a long ways off. When he got back to the butte, he was startled to find that the trail up to the cave was red with frozen blood. It disappeared into the woods at the bottom of the butte. Despite his curiosity, Gore waited until the sun came up and devoted its precious short hour of warmth to following the trail. It abruptly disappeared right before the line of totems. He found there a decapitated corpse spitted on the branch of a tree. He took its coat, grimy and smelling of decay. Its pockets held only a journal and the leather pouch of remaining sugar. Then he went up the butte cautiously, slowly rounding on the cave. He didn't know it at that time, but he would soon be running for his life from the thing hiding there. The low, strangled moan of a dying man came from deep in the forest. Gore startled from his reminiscence. The sound droned on, intermittently interrupted by a choking sound, as if the gout of arterial blood were getting backed up in the dying man's throat. Gore froze, moving only his eyes to make sure that the knife and hatchet were still in his numb fingers. Why hadn't he taken a gun from the cave when he had the chance? The sound faded, and silence, so profound that it was deafening, fell over the darkness again. Gore edged forward, stiff legs protesting. From a gap in the frozen hide, he could barely just see out into the moonlight. At first, it was all just snow and the silhouettes of ancient trees. But his eyes searched around until they fell onto the corpse of the dead warrior that he'd stepped over to get to the lodge. "Never step over a dead body," he heard McTerry's voice echo in his mind. Superstitious, Gore had thought, just like all his kind. But now he wasn't so sure. Hadn't the corpse been facing the other way? And what was that glint in its eyes? The moonlight? But hadn't its eyes been shut? The sound of a man bleeding out through his own cut throat ripped across the silence again. Gore could have sworn that it was coming from the corpse, but his mind was so frayed that he couldn't be sure. He pulled back into the lodge with a stifled yelp, and the sound stopped. More knocking sounds came from the woods, like someone angrily pounding on the totems out in the distance. Another crack of dried wood and a triumphant growl. "What can stop it?" he thought desperately. "Something has to be able to stop it." He turned up the lamp and flipped the page.
December 18. God damn, what a night! What a goddamn night! All night through, those damn savages chanting away. That thing they got down there is growling up a storm. Buff went back down there an hour ago. Oh, he'd given him up for a goner, but he came back all a-twitter again. Said that thing they got tied up down there ain't natural. said that only one brave is left there, some shirtless crazy fuck.